Welcome to the PCI CEO Spotlight Series, where we visit with the CEOs of some of America's top private companies, as rated on the Entrex Private Company Index. For more information on Entrex and the Private Company Index, visit privatecompanyindex.com. Our guest on this segment is the CEO of Enstar Global Services. The company provides service and staffing solutions to customers in the semiconductor and other technical industries. Enstar was originally selected for the Inc. 500 list as one of the fastest growing privately held businesses in the United States and is, of course, a top growth company on the Entrex Private Company Index. Joining us on the line from Enstar headquarters in Clayton, North Carolina is Randy Nelson. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What events in your career and life led to the original formation of your company, Enstar Global?
Well, I guess I'd have to go back to the 80s. I graduated from college, and reading the papers these days, I didn't realize that the economy was as bad in 1983 as it is in 2009, so I'm glad I decided to go into service back then. Went through ROTC in college and spent 7 years in the Navy as a lieutenant in the Navy Nuclear Power Program. And my first business that I started with my partner back in 1991, placed military people coming out of the service, both officers and enlisted, into civilian employment as they were leaving the service. And that company is still around, doing well. But I think the event that really got us going in Enstar was back in 2001, after the burst of the internet bubble and the whole technology industry took a real nosedive. We found that our customers in the semiconductor industry, rather than being in the boom, grow, and then contract a little cycle that they had been through in the 80s and 90s, it really became with globalization an industry that needed a new solution, and they needed a flexible workforce model. So for the first time, they had to think about cost a little bit more than just new sales. And what we came up with was a way for them to continue to maintain their equipment in their industry, get all the work done that they needed to, but maintain quality, but at a little lower cost model.
Okay. I wanted to dig in a little bit deeper to the business itself. What would you say is the core business there, if you had to just simply describe it and give us a bit of a tour of the company?
Sure. Core business for us is we work on semiconductor equipment, and we have two customers. We have the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer, and their customer, which is the fabs, fabrication facilities.
Okay.
So our people, if you think about a car and you think about two ends of the car, you have the lower, the oil change, some of the more of the preventive maintenance that goes on to make sure your car keeps going. And in the case of your engine work, you have some higher end corrective maintenance and design type things. We focus more so on the lower end. We focus more on the preventive maintenance, we do a lot of project-type work as well, installation of new equipment. But our focus is on semiconductor equipment, and we work throughout the United States in the fabrication facilities, such as an Intel site or a Texas Instruments site. And we also have our engineers who are working projects around the world, U.S., Europe, and Asia, installing equipment, deinstalling equipment, and a variety of other projects.
Is the business more a contract in and out type of temporary staffing solutions business, or is it something different?
It's a combination. We actually can do three things for our customers. We have two divisions in our company. We have a service division, and that service division is where my employees are out there on site. And it varies. I have people who have been out there working at a single site for up to 5 years.
Sure.
I have people who may do project work that may be up to 90 days. So it varies. We have, on the service side, it is all my employees doing that work. On the staffing side, we can provide our customers with people bought on a direct hire basis, on a temp to perm basis, or on a contract basis. So what we try to do is come up with a flexible option that gives them whatever they need, because every customer has a different solution that they're looking for.
When you first set out to start the company, how was the market space different, if at all? And beyond that, how did you want to do it differently than some of the other players in the space?
Sure. I guess the computer age, and I'll date myself a little bit. When I went through school, we didn't have all these neat computers.
Yeah.
So the 80s and 90s, the industry was really in a make as much as you can, and then when things slow down, you stop making it, and then you start making as much as you can again. So it was more an industry based on a sales model versus a service model.
Mm-hmm.
And as the tech downturn came into play, globalization came into play, cost became more of a factor, and they started to see that there should be more focus put on the service model. There is, even though technology, even though they're always introducing new products with newer technology, the older products, the legacy products, still have a revenue stream from a service standpoint. So when we got into the industry, we understood where it was going. We understood that there was going to be a shift towards service. And in the industry, a huge aspect is intellectual property. So integrity for us was the critical part. We partner with our customers, and integrity is the vital core value for us, because if they're going to start giving us some opportunities to work on their equipment, they have to understand that we're not going to try to take their business away. So our focus was to be a partner, to focus on the integrity, and to help them deliver revenues from that service aspect, even on the oldest dated products that they serve.
So NSTAR's in semiconductors predominantly, but what kinds of companies would you say typify the need for your services? Is there a typical customer, or does it run a broad gamut?
There's a typical customer, and it's really two different segments. The OEM, the original equipment manufacturer, such as an Applied Materials.
Sure.
In the semiconductor industry, they are the number one industry player. So they have lines of equipment within the fab, and the other customer that we serve is the fab itself. So in the case of an Applied, we do a lot of work for Applied. We are an extension of their service arm, but also for their customer, we also will work on equipment other than Applied Materials in a fab, where we'll go in and work with the customer directly and help them maintain the quality of the equipment as well as to lower their cost. On the fab side, a good customer names that I think people would recognize would be a Samsung, a Texas Instruments, and Intel.
We're visiting with Randy Nelson. He's the president and CEO of NSTAR Global Services Incorporated, located in Clayton, North Carolina. That website, www.nstargs.com. So we're sitting in March of 2009, clearly a interesting and challenging historic period, economically speaking. How are you managing through this transitional period? Is it affecting you? And if so, how?
Well, I think it certainly is affecting all of us. It's a very trying time because, as I think we all feel, we've lost a little bit of control, a little bit of predictability of what's out there, and I think that's the hardest piece of managing any business. Our customers are hurting. The industry as a whole, when consumer spending is 70% of the GDP, and consumer spending for the first time now our savings rate is going up, consumers aren't out there buying products, and that has a trickle-down effect. If you're not buying the iPods and you're not buying the computers, then the ultimate customer, the Apples and the HPs, they're not making as much product, which means the fabs that are supporting those fabs that are supporting the chips that go into their products are starting to slow down. So we're seeing shutdowns for a week at a time, sometimes more, at the fabs working. And if they're shutting down, they don't need as much equipment. So we've seen just a huge trickle down effect from consumer spending in the technology area, and we certainly are looking forward to that turning around. And hopefully we're starting to see some signs that inventory levels are low enough that maybe we're starting to get a little closer to turning this thing around.
Randy, how about the supply side? You got a lot of people losing their jobs, being laid off, unfortunately, and I would imagine that would increase supply of available workers to an organization like yours. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the good and the bad of what's going on. Is
sure.
There are more people available, which means there are high quality people available. Unfortunately, there's high quality people available because you get an unemployment rate that's jumped now to over 8%. There's not as many places for them to go to. So we're hoping for their sake that the economy turns around, because there's a lot of good people who should be in the workforce right now and are not.
How big is your staff there at NSTAR internally?
Internally, we have about 20 people here at the headquarters. because one of our advantages that we offer our customers is low infrastructure costs. We've kept those costs to a minimum. We try to be as productive as possible, and we have just the one physical location in North Carolina, and that allows us to keep those costs down.
I know you're proud of your value-based culture. You've created something very special there at NSTAR. What's it like to work there?
I go back to Jim Collins. I'm a big fan of him and his book, Good to Great. And in his book, he talked about three things. And what we do at NSTAR is we've gone through that book a couple times so that everybody embraces what he talks about. And in particular, he studied companies that made the jump from good to great.
Yes.
And essentially, over a 15, 20-year period, their stock was much better performing than their peers. He said there are three things that you need to have a great company. You need to have passion in your employees. You need to be best in the world at something, and then you have to. The third is a metric, a key metric that you can run your business by. So we look for people who bring that passion every single day, and who don't do it because they have to, but they get up because they're excited about doing it. We bring people who, you know, everybody talks about focusing on a customer and doing the right things, but we look for people who we don't have to train them to do that. It's natural for them, and they are excited to take care of our customers and our contractors. And I think that's the part that really shows when you talk to our customers and our employees. We're not doing it because we have to check the block. We're doing it because we want to. And everybody, I think that's what you would see from everybody here.
Everybody embodies the hedgehog model within the way they operate in their character.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You guys were selected for the Inc. 500 list, and of course you're also on the Entrex PCI Top Growth Company list as well. How do you explain your incredible growth trajectory since 2001?
I think anybody who gives an answer other than saying there's a little bit of luck involved is probably not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
I think a part of it was the lessons that were learned in building the first business. I think the mistake that I made the first time when people would ask us how we were doing, I would count our success by the number of employees we had, the number of locations we had, and none of it was built on whether we were a good business or a profitable business. So I think this time around we were in the right place at the right time. In an industry change, we had some very good customers that we partnered with, and were able to get in some very strategic partnerships. But I think we also, beyond the growth, we wanted to focus on building a good to great company as well. So we're very proud of the growth, but I guess having gone through the building of the first company, where you go up and then you have some setbacks along the way,
yes,
we also know that that's not going to be the key. That we're not going to hang our hat on that and say that's going to be the greatest thing we ever did, because there's a lot more to building a business than that.
It's good stuff. Randy Nelson's been our guest. He's the president and CEO of NSTAR Global Services Incorporated, Clayton, North Carolina. That website, www.nstargs.com. Randy, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Absolutely.
For more information on PCI, the Private Company Index, visit privatecompanyindex.com. The PCI CEO Spotlight Series is heard exclusively on the Small Biz America Network.